Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 17. In verse 22, the Word of God says, and I'm reading in the Amplified, "A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones." A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. Now the Word of God says that He sent His Word and healed them. God sent His Word and it healed them. There is tremendous power in the Word of God. When the Word of God enters the mind, one of the results, in fact the second in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, which starts with love, the immediate result after that is joy. And so the Word of God produces the love of God in our hearts, but it also produces tremendous joy. Pastor Stevens used to love cutting up. He'd cut up in the pulpit and he'd have everybody roaring. Sometimes we start to take ourselves a little too seriously. Sometimes we're a little too overwhelmed or occupied with what we're doing. But really, that's not a great place to go. Taking myself too seriously is one of the worst things that can happen to me. Because then I actually start to lose who I am. God doesn't take me that seriously in that way. God takes me profoundly seriously as far as my soul goes, as far as my relationship to Him goes, yes. But as far as I go in like the worries, the details, taking myself too seriously, God's not taking me that seriously, and nor should I. A healthy mind really is one that can laugh. You ever meet somebody who just laughs? And I don't mean a fake laugh, and I don't mean a trivial laugh, but I mean somebody who really knows how to laugh. I got saved because I met a man who could laugh like a man. And he was a Christian. Before that, I didn't much like Christians. But when I met that man who was a believer, he was a pastor, and he laughed like a normal human being, and he seemed to enjoy so much what he had, that appealed to me. And that's the point where I decided to get saved. Now, laughter is good medicine. A merry heart is good medicine. And a cheerful mind works healing. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. Now, this is a profound saying. Because if we understand that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and the blood is produced in the bones, then we start to understand the significance of this broken spirit. Now, when it speaks of a broken spirit, it's not speaking of a Christian who lives in brokenness. That's not a broken spirit. That's a brokenness of heart. And it's not a brokenness of heart in sorrow. It's a brokenness of heart in appreciation, in thanksgiving, in reverence. That's the proper form of brokenness. But a broken spirit, no one is supposed to have a broken spirit. Because that will dry up the bones. It'll dry up the life of the flesh. In other words, put in the vernacular, it'll suck the life out of us. But a merry heart, that does good like medicine. And a cheerful mind brings healing. Now, in John 15 and verse 10, and this is a little bit of an extension of what we talked about this morning already. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Why is it that somebody has a merry heart? Why is it that there is joy in their life? Why is it that they have a cheerful mind? Because they possess the love of God. The love of God, put it simply, makes us happy. The Word of God, resident in our hearts, that produces that love of God, that Word of God also teaches us how to think correctly in all things. That Word of God also teaches us to have an expectation from God in all circumstances. And that Word of God also teaches us that no matter what happens, all things are for my sake, and that all things work together for good. That the end of a thing is always better than its beginning. Always. There's never a time when the end is not better than the beginning. No matter what things might look like by sight, they will always be better at the end than at the beginning. There's always that faithfulness of God which I receive through the Word of God, and I rest in it because I believe that Word. When I put these different things together, it produces tremendous joy in a believer's life. Do you know why believers have an honest laugh? I'm not saying that every believer does. I know sometimes it's pretense. But I'm not talking about the times when it's pretense. I'm talking about the people who are real with God, who have something real going on with Him. Very frequently, almost always, come to think of it, I can't think of a single time when this is not the case. Those people laugh a lot. There's a lot of laughter in a Spirit-filled believer's life. You ever get in a situation when you're laughing and you get somebody and they kind of look at you disapprovingly? Once in a while you get that. You're laughing and somebody's like a little disapproving of your laughter there. You know, when that happens, it makes me want to laugh more. It really does. And it's not just because I'm ornery. But it's because I see somebody who's elevating themselves beyond what they actually are. Do you know what I am? I am a dust ball. Do you know what you are? You are dust balls. So we're all nothing really more than dust balls with a soul. Hey, if I'm a dust ball, I'm a happy dust ball. Why? Because nothing's on me. I don't have to produce anything. I don't have to do anything. I simply believe the Word of God. Which, what can be any easier when God says something to believe it? My goodness, He's God. Of course you're going to believe it. And that makes me happy. And the fact that I'm a dust ball makes me free from any burden. Because what do you expect from a dust ball? And so I'm a happy little dust ball. And I recommend to you that you be happy little dust balls too. Because you really are just like me, nothing more than dust balls. But some dust balls take themselves very seriously. I'm a serious dust ball. I'm not just a dust bunny. I'm a serious dust ball. I have something going on here. I'm a dust ball with issues. Better yet, I'm a dust ball that has learned something from God's Word. And I'm now sober-minded. You know, sober-minded people laugh the most. Why? Because their thinking is right. And they understand that there's a lot to laugh about. And so I'm a happy dust ball. I should call this message Happy Dust Balls. I'm a happy dust ball. Why? Because I'm loved by God and I'm nothing more than a dust ball. Because God is for dust. Go figure. I do my best to get rid of it and God wants it. People who laugh show two things. Number one, and I'm not saying that people who don't laugh don't show these things, because sometimes it's difficult to laugh in certain things. If I get bad news, it's difficult to laugh. Drives me nuts when I see somebody trying to cheer somebody up after they lost a loved one. You don't cheer them up. You're not going to cheer them up. Forget trying to cheer them up. It's offensive. Sit where they sit. You don't have to talk to them if you don't know what to say. Just let them know they're loved. Don't try to fix them by injecting your sense of humor. They have nothing to laugh about at that moment, even though they love God and know they're loved by Him. That's not the time to laugh. That's the time to cry. And Ecclesiastes tells us there is such a time. So cry with them. If somebody loses a loved one, you know, people lose loved ones and people are afraid to touch the topic that they lost a loved one, like they didn't know. Or like, it's going to hurt them if I talk about it because it's going to make them all emotional. The emotions are the release, they're healing. The tears are healing. They're not hurting, they're healing. Those tears are what releases the hurt. And so let them cry. How many people, somebody loses a loved one and they start, oh, don't cry, they're in heaven now. No, cry. Cry your heart out. Why? Because that's how you get healed. God bottles those tears. They're precious to Him. So let them cry. And cry with them. Sit where they sit. Let them know their love. And don't ignore the topic. It's all that is in their consciousness for a season when that takes place. People are so hesitant to talk about a loved one when somebody dies. You know what? Sometimes it's exactly what they want. They want people to talk about that loved one. They want to hear about what that person was in their life. They want to be able to talk about how much they miss them, how much they love them, how special they are, and they still are. Let them talk about it. Don't pretend it didn't happen. It's your own discomfort that you're trying to avoid, not theirs. And it's making their burden a little bit heavier. Sometimes I'll talk to somebody about, when somebody loses someone, I'll just talk to them about the person they lost. And once in a while you get these stares of, you shouldn't be talking to them about it. They're just hurting. They just lost. Yeah, that's why I'm talking to them about it. That's not the time to laugh. That's the time to cry. But most of the time, it's time to laugh. The vast majority of the time, it is time to laugh. There is a season for crying. And it's a season sent from God. But there is also a season for laughter. People who possess healthy emotions because of healthy thinking laugh a lot. Why? Because there's joy in their heart. And they laugh a lot. What is that reflecting? Number one, it reflects that I know that God loves me. A person who laughs is a person who knows the love of God. I'm not saying that every person who laughs is like this, but the person who knows the love of God will be somebody who laughs. You get a spirit-filled Christian who's laughing a lot, that's a person who knows how to love. Why? Because they've received love. And that love has produced the joy of the Lord in their heart. And it's expressed in their laughter. They get silly and you're kind of silly there, aren't you? Should be more sober. No. Am I silly? Yeah, I think you're silly. I think it's silly what you're doing. Good. Then laugh at it. But you see, what would happen? Pastor Stevens used to ask stuff like this. What would happen if you actually smiled? Your face might crack or something, right? Get a little bit of that crust out of there. But laughter is one of the healthiest things believers can do, and it's the product of the love of God. God doesn't want a bunch of stiff believers. It doesn't glorify Him. You ever meet believers who always look angry? There's a school of thought out there that that's spirituality. So I'm always somber and I'm always like, unrighteousness makes me mad. You know what? Get a grip. You live in the world, don't you? How many people get angry about politics? I'm so angry about what's happening in Washington. I heard that yesterday. I'm so angry about what's that. You don't even believe in God and you're asking, why doesn't God fix this? So angry about what's happening in Washington. I'm not. I'm not surprised. I didn't say I like it. I'm just not surprised. I don't worry about it. It's the devil's world. What do you expect from the devil's world? The devil's world is going to behave like the devil's world. But you're a citizen of the New Jerusalem. Get happy about it. Lighten up, for crying out loud. You're giving yourself high blood pressure. You're going to kill yourself with stress hormones. You're going to stroke out at whatever age. Why? Because your blood pressure. People are angry. Too angry. Angry Christians are just weird. How can I be a citizen of the New Jerusalem, the bride of the Savior, knowing that I'm going to heaven for eternity, knowing that there's rewards and all these things waiting for me, and I'm angry? Say, what is your problem? There's nothing to be angry about. Well, I'm in the devil's world and things went bad. Well, duh, you're in the devil's world. No wonder things went bad. Well, you should see what happened to me. You should see what they said about me. You should see what was done. You should see what's coming against me. Well, then pray. You can pray, can't you? Yeah, but it continues. So, I'm so angry. I'm a soldier in a battlefield and I'm being shot at. Really ticks me off. Well, what did you expect? Self-occupation takes away laughter. Self-occupation takes away laughter. The second thing that a laughter indicates is humility. A person who is humble, who knows the love of God, is going to laugh a lot. Because they're not going to look at their situations as being greater than God's ability. They're going to look at their situations very much like Paul did. And he said, I glory in my tribulations. Because his strength, God's strength, was made perfect in Paul's weakness. It's like, I get to see God's strength working. I get to see God come through for me. Hey, look at this. I'm going to see a miracle here. You ever have that kind of expectation? I guarantee if you have those kind of expectations, which are based on the realities of the Word of God, you're going to be a happy little dust ball. Because you're going to have something from God. And you're going to have a portion. And you're going to be living in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And so you are going to be one happy little dust ball. You're not going to be a puffed up little dust ball, elevating yourself beyond dust ballhood. There was a dust ball in eternity past who tried that. It didn't go really well for him. Don't try it also. It never goes good when a dust ball tries to esteem itself higher than it is. The soul that is lifted up in Habakkuk 2:3 is not right. But embrace your dust ballness. Embrace your inner dust ball. Embrace your dust ballness. Why? Because it takes the pressure off of you. There's no pressure on you to begin with except the pressure that we put on ourselves. Well, if we recognize that we're nothing more than dust balls, then we're going to be happy little dust balls because that takes all the pressure off. I can't do anything except respond. You ever notice, I know this doesn't really happen here, but how many have seen somewhere in the past dust bunnies on the floor somewhere in somebody else's house? You ever notice when you walk by the dust bunnies, just the wind that comes from your leg passing by, the motion of the air blows the dust bunnies around? Well, the wind blows where it will. We don't know where it's coming from, and we don't know where it's going. And it blows where it will. The wind there is talking about the Holy Spirit. If you're just a dust ball, the Holy Spirit has absolutely no trouble at all steering you and taking you to the places where He wants you to go. Just as easy as when you walk by that dust ball and it just happens to be blown around by the air moving across your leg. With that kind of ease, the Holy Spirit can operate in the life of a happy little dust ball. Why? We don't take ourselves so seriously that we have to evaluate our circumstances before we can have faith responses. It's kind of strange. It makes me want to laugh when things like that happen. Learn to laugh. Learn to laugh. People here do, I know. But I'm also preaching to a lot of people on the internet. Learn to laugh. Why? Because the Word of God says that a happy heart is good medicine. It's not good like medicine. In the Amplified, it just says it's good medicine. A happy heart is good medicine. And a cheerful mind works healing. Those people who are too serious to laugh, or this is not the time to laugh, son. Well, you know what? You're just funny looking in your expression. And I can't help the laughter. It really is kind of like that. I mean, you can laugh at him. So many funny things are happening all the time. Why aren't we laughing more? If you really think about it, they're happening all the time. Why aren't we laughing more? The other day, I cracked myself up. I was hungry. My wife said, grab a banana on your way out. So I grabbed a banana, and she was right, I was hungry. And so I eat the banana, and I go to throw the banana peel out the window. I forgot to lower the window. So now I have this big imprint of a banana peel on my window. I got to clean the window sometime today, I hope. It just cracked me up. It was funny. You see, stuff like this happens all the time in our lives. But why aren't we laughing? Because for some weird reason, we think that we're a little bit more than a dust ball. That this is impacting me so severely. You have no idea who you are, do you? Really, if you think about it, the person who takes themselves so seriously that they can't laugh, they don't know who they actually are. They don't know who they are in the practical, physical reality of life, dust balls. And they don't know who they are in the eyes of God, beloved. So really, maybe we're beloved happy dust balls. Maybe that should be the title of the message. Beloved happy dust balls. You see, when I realize that I'm nothing more than a dust ball, I'm the beloved of God, everything becomes just plain funny. Why? Because I have the joy of the Lord. Because I'm relating to myself, relating to my circumstances, relating to God, relating to other people correctly. How do you offend a dust ball? Really, how do you offend a dust ball? You know, I've never swept up a dust ball that chewed me out for sweeping it up. It has never happened. Yes, I have swept up dust balls. But I've never swept up a dust ball that has chewed me out for sweeping it up. Little dust ball in the dustpan. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Put me in the dustpan. You ever go in the dustpan? Sometimes God lets us go in the dustpan for a season. Right? And we give it. Okay, God, what is this? What are you doing, God? Why are you doing this to me? Because you're a dust ball. That's why I'm doing this to you. And you need to recognize that you're a dust ball. Humility and the love of God produce great laughter in the believer's life. But apart from humility and apart from the love of God, not a whole lot is going to appear funny to a believer. Apart from the humility of and the love of God, everything is going to be so heavy. So serious. Such a burden. You know, I've never seen a dust ball with a real burden. Isn't that weird? I've never seen a dust ball trying to change the world. I've never seen a dust ball trying to change itself. I've never seen a dust ball try to change me. But isn't this sometimes what we do? Sometimes we feel like we have to do these things. I got news for you. We have no ability to do any of those things. Though we might try, we still don't have the ability. We tell ourselves what we do because we think we're more than a dust ball. I didn't breathe the breath of life into myself. I didn't form the dust out of the earth. You know what? I don't think I'm going to be able to do a whole lot to change the way God formed it. So I may as well enjoy what God has done. I may as well enjoy the fact that no matter what state I find myself in, this beloved, happy little dust ball is going to be the beloved dust ball of God. That even if I fail miserably, I'm still the beloved of God. Even if I turn into a wicked person and God has to take me home early, I'm still going to be the beloved of God. Even if everything in my life goes wrong, I'm still going to be the beloved of God. But it's when we start taking on the notion that we're a little bit more than dust balls that we start to have problems. But that's where we also start to lose our identity. I feel like Pastor Vieira here. I should stand up behind the podium, point at all of you and say, "You are a dust ball." That's what he used to do when I was in Bible college. He'd get up behind the podium, because he's not very tall. He'd get up behind the podium and he'd point at all of us and say, "You are a basket case." And we'd all think it was funny. Yeah, I'm a basket case. It's great. You know why? Because he knew how to laugh. He used to tell stories about Australia. He'd go to Australia and his team, they would be laughing and everybody thought they had been drinking because apparently that's the only reason they can think of for laughing. I knew a guy who came here from Eastern Europe. He said, "You know, I can't believe how much laughter there is here." Well, yeah. Do you know why? It's the Christian influence. Notice that people without Christ, although they laugh at the wrong things at the wrong times for the wrong reasons sometimes, but notice that people without Christ really don't have a lot to laugh about. That's why they want to drink so much, so that they can have an excuse to laugh. They don't actually need the alcohol to laugh, they just need the excuse to laugh. The excuse to operate in that portion of their design. I will guarantee you, before the fall, there was a tremendous quantity of laughter in the garden. In heaven, there's laughter. How do I know? Because there's joy in heaven. Laughter comes from knowing that you're the beloved of God, that you're loved by Him, and by being humble enough to simply accept things as God made them. That's where it always comes from. God wants us to laugh. And He wants us to laugh a lot. He wants us to find things funny. Do you know why? Because they are. My wife one time asked God, she was on her way to work, this is years ago, she was driving early to work, and she was reflecting on God's humor, and she said, "God, what makes you laugh?" And she was riding up a hill, and just at the top of the hill, when she could see just over the top of the hill, there was a line of ducks walking down the yellow line on the road from behind, wobbling. You know how the ducks wobble? There was this line of ducks wobbling. And she just started cracking up. And God answered, "That's what makes ducks made God laugh. Because they're funny." You see, learn to laugh. The design that we have for our soul is a design of laughter. And I think sometimes in our lives it's missing. But a spirit-filled person will have joy. Why? Because they have love. And if I have joy, I'm not going to have it without humility. So operate in the love of God in humility, and laughter will never be an issue. And then when somebody gives you that scowl, that disapprove, what is with disapproving anyway? I never could figure out why some Christians feel it's their place to approve or disapprove. Well, I approve of that. I don't approve of that. Ooh. Well, God has spoken, hasn't He? I don't care if you approve or disapprove. This is what I've heard that, not very often, but once in a blue moon, somebody will say to me, well, I don't approve of that. I don't care. I mean, I try not to be unkind to them, but I swear the next time somebody says that, I'm just going to say, I don't care. I'm concerned about the approval of my Father. I don't really worry about the approval of you. And so long as I know I've got the approval of my Father, and He loves me, and He takes care of me, He's for me, I'm not worried about your little opinion. Why? Because you're a dust ball. You just didn't know it, and that's funny. You see, that's the whole thing. I approve. I don't care. I don't really care what the dust in my house thinks. I don't really think what the dust in your house thinks. I'm a dust ball too. But I know that I'm a dust ball, and it makes me happy. And this is, you see, you get into this place, and then we can all be happy, corporate, beloved little dust balls. Amen?